Rosie TV.
You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. You remember that crazy Oprah Winfrey? And you get a car, you get a car. Everybody's going crazy. You remember that show, that crazy Oprah Winfrey giving away cars to every member of the studio audience? And you get a car. I get a car, and you get... That's God. You get immortality, and you get immortality with me. You get immortality with me, and you get immortality with me. Woo! Everybody in the audience is shocked. Absolutely shocked. Those people in Oprah's audience were jumping up and down like a bunch of monkeys. Not once did Oprah ever pause to consider that any one of that audience was not worthy to have a car. They didn't come up to the bench and have their lives reviewed and had their finances analyzed to find out whether they were worthy or whether they needed a car or whether they even wanted a car. Nobody asked their opinions. Nobody asked them to believe that, oh, do you believe that Oprah will give you a car today? Nobody asked them any questions. It was just sprung on them out of nowhere. You get a car. You get a car. And that is God telling everyone, you get life forever. You get immortality with me. You get immortality with me. And not once is anyone's merits checked. No one's intentions are checked. No one's thoughts are read. No one is asked if they want it. No one is asked if they believe Jesus or God can do it. It's just done. It's shocking. It's out of the blue. You get immortality. You get immortality. And it applies to every, just like with Oprah, it applied to every single person in the studio audience. This applies to every single son and daughter of Adam. But don't think for a second that Oprah paid for any of that. Oh, no, Oprah didn't pay for it. She could, but she didn't. But God paid. See, Oprah was just having fun with other people's money. That's what lefties do. But God paid for his joy to surprise everybody. It was fun for Oprah. That would be fun. I have to. It would be fun. Like, your job today is to give a car to 500 people in a studio audience. I mean, that's your job today. That would be so much fun, especially when it's not your money. Oh, that would be even more fun. But for God, it is his money. He paid dearly to be able to have this fun, this enjoyment, and to say, you get life immortal with me. You get life immortal with me. It is so enjoyable for him because the price has already been paid. He paid it. And the recipients can only stand there, slack-jawed. Or they may jump up and down like a monkey. I don't know. Either way, it's an equally satisfying reaction. Either you're like this or like this. It doesn't matter. I like to see it. I can't wait to see it because life immortal has nothing to do with faith, nothing to do with morality, nothing to do with intention, nothing to do with sincerity, nothing to do with anything except descendancy from Adam. If you have descended from, or should I say, if you have descended from Adam, yes, you qualify for life immortal with God. Check your records. Did you descend from Adam? You did. Then you're in. Congratulations. Life immortal with God. No interruption of death whatsoever, ever again. True happiness, pure happiness. All because you descended from that disobedient man who screwed up everything, quote unquote, in the Garden of Eden. Congratulations. In that case, you don't even need a home version of the game. I mean, you won the showcase. You want the showcase. So anytime, okay, well, Martin, what about faith? Well, like I said yesterday, anytime faith is in the mix, we're no longer talking now about immortal life with God because everybody gets that. You get life immortal with God. You get life immortal with God. Everybody gets that. When we're talking about faith and people's motives and their decisions and all these things on the relative outlook here, with the relative outlook, this has to do with aeonian life. This is above and beyond. It's like Oprah giving everybody a car. Everybody's got a car. And then she takes three people aside and invites them to her house for dinner. Spend the night, have breakfast with her. I would tell her I had something else to do, but you get the point. It's extra. It's more Aeonian life is more. But for this, Oprah looks maybe at motives. Oprah tries to find people who meet a certain criteria. This is on the relative. God gives, there is a criteria for being in the body of Christ, but God gives the criteria. God enables someone to believe the evangel. But anytime, again, I say this again, I said it yesterday, I want to clarify it today. Anytime we're in the realm of faith, and see, this is where the Christians make the big mistake. Anytime we're in the realm of faith, we're talking about Aeonian life. This is where Christians make the big mistake. They make faith, issues of faith, whether you believe in Jesus or not, they make that a matter of eternal life. That is their big mistake. They make it a matter of eternal life. So if you don't have faith, if you don't accept Jesus, you're doomed. No. Because life immortal with God has nothing to do with accepting Jesus. It has to do with descendancy from Adam. Belief in Jesus gets you Aeonian life. But you see how they screw the pooch by not even knowing about Aeonian life. So they're burned with carrying this rock of eternity around and placing it where it doesn't belong. Placing it in the realm of accepting or not accepting Jesus. This depends on your eternal life depends on this. Depends on me, a worthless, helpless sinner, making this epic decision to believe in Jesus, and my eternal destiny resides on a decision I make today or won't make today, depending on whether or not I get hit by a bus. They're burdened with that idiotic message. Because this idiotic message is idiotic because they're carrying the boulder of eternity on their backs while they're heralding it. Because they think eternity depends on what you do today. My God, how can eternity depend on what I do today? That doesn't seem right. It's not right. Eternity depends on your forefather Adam and that you have Adamic blood coursing through your vein and that Jesus Christ undid the work of Adam. It all depends on that. Yeah, I didn't bring out that part right. Oh, that's the most important part, is that Christ undoes the work of Adam. The reason why descendants of Adam are guaranteed immortality with God, you get immortality, is because Christ took all the descendants of Adam and justified them. Adam did one act, one disobedient act, ate from the tree he was not supposed to eat from. And that was a sin and it was an offense to God. And because of that, he began dying. And death has been transmitted to all of humanity. But another man, Jesus Christ, did another act. This was a righteous act. He went to the cross. And this undid the work of Adam. Martin, do you have scripture for that? Oh, I do. I read it yesterday. 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in their own class. And I have another passage for you in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Consequently, then, as it was through one offense for all mankind, for condemnation, that was Adam, thus also it is through one righteous act for all mankind for life's justifying. There it is. Verse 19, I'm still in Romans 5. For even as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were constituted sinners. That's everybody except the one man. For through the disobedience of the one, the many were constituted sinners. That's why the word many is used here. It's so precise. It excludes Adam because he's the channel through whom the offense came. Thus also, through the obedience of the one, the many shall be constituted just. Here, it's everybody except Christ. He doesn't need to be constituted just, but everyone except Christ is constituted just. So the reason the word many is here instead of all, it's so precise is because we're not considering the channels through which the obedience and the disobedience came. Don't you love the scriptures? So exact. But this proves that descendancy from Adam is your only qualification you need to get life immortal with God. Everybody has it. Do you ever hear that in church? Ever? No. Instead, they ask questions like, your eternal fate depends on your decision today. Bad mistake. Where will you spend eternity? Bad mistake. Everybody spends eternity with God. Again, the question should be, where will you spend the eons? No, they should say in the former example, your aeonian life. I could abide this statement. Your aeonian life depends on decision you make today, relatively speaking. Actually, it depends on God designating you beforehand and giving you the faith to believe it. But if that caveat were made, I could buy into that. Aeonian life. Aeonian life. You see, it is so insane. And the Christians know this deep down, but they don't know how to solve it. Because they don't have the key to solve it. It's so insane to levy an eternal punishment. Eternal punishment against a sin, unbelief, committed by, really committed one time by a transient, fleeting human being who is compared to grass in Isaiah, who is dying, who is helpless, who is weak. And they have never heard of God or Christ properly. So they can't believe in God or Christ. And so they don't believe in God or Christ. And that is the sin. One sin gets them an eternity of punishment. That is unjust. It's not even sane. And that is because the Christians, again, are saddled with the biggest mistake they could possibly make, which is freighting sin or not sin, freighting belief or no belief, freighting that, loading it, weighing it down with eternity. And they'll never get out of that conundrum. They'll never escape that insanity and that unrighteousness. They'll never get out of it. Because they don't understand the eons. They don't understand that God is working in time periods called eons. For those who haven't heard, the word eon, and that's a noun, and the adjective aeonian appear over 175 times in the New Testament. People hearing this for the first time say, where? I've read my New Testament 50 times. I don't see them in there at all, because they've been hidden. These words are there in the Greek. But they've been mistranslated every single time. Every single time. Sometimes they're translated age in the King James a couple times. That's a good translation. But sometimes they're translated eternal. Sometimes forever. Sometimes forever and ever, which makes no sense at all. And as long as they continue to make that mistake, as long as they continue to falsely associate eternity with human decisions or indecisions, or human faith or non-faith, human belief or non-belief, as long as they continue to tie these things up with eternal life, they are among the stupidest people on the planet with the stupidest message. But our message is sane. We exhort people to believe in Jesus because everybody wants to go to Oprah's house, right? Everybody wants to meet Oprah, just figuratively speaking. It's figure speech, obviously. Obviously, this is a parable. People in that studio audience would want to go see Oprah. And we want people to get in on God early. We want people to believe what Jesus Christ has done for them already. Whether they believe it or not. You see, this is the message. The message is, whether you believe it or not, this is true. That's how we present the evangel. We tell people what is true. Jesus Christ died for your sin, was entombed and resurrected, and now you are justified and God is at peace with you. Period. That's it. And then they're waiting for the catch, aren't they? Because they're used to the Christian message. Well, this is incredible. What do I have to do? Nothing. Well, I don't even believe it. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it. What? It doesn't matter if I believe it. Nobody's ever told them this. It's like an insurance salesman. You want to buy the best health insurance? Well, I got a plan here. I got a plan here. It gives you full 100% coverage. Dental, optical, hospital, prescription, drugs, everything you could possibly imagine. This is the gold plan. This is the gold standard. This is the best plan ever. And what's the next thing people are waiting for? Waiting for the briefcase to come out. Here comes the contract. Here comes how much it's going to cost you. Here comes how much money you need up front. Here comes all the red tape. But what if the insurance salesman told you that this amazing plan is yours now? And then he gets up, thanks you for your hospitality, and heads for the door. And you're like, wait, what? Don't I have to? No. Were you going to ask me if you have to sign something? Yeah. Like, do I have to write a check today? No, it's completely free. It's yours. You don't have to sign anything. You don't have to pay anything. I'm just telling you, we have given you the gold plan. If it was told to people like that, if the evangel were told to people like that, God has conciliated to you. You are justified. You are saved from your sin now. And you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to believe it, and it's true. And you start walking out the door, and they're going to be grabbing onto your shirt like, wait, tell me more about this. You're telling me this is true whether I believe it or not? Yes. And that's the message you will never hear in Christianity, because they're carrying around this false burden of eternity, this false overlay, something that doesn't belong to it. Eternity doesn't belong to an announcement of the evangel. It's aeonian life that belongs to an announcement of the evangel, not eternity. All you have to have for eternal life is belong to Adam. Like I said, because Jesus Christ undid the work of Adam, or else he's lesser than Adam. There it is. But if you tell people how things are, and you don't even challenge them, you don't tell them, well, you do have to go to our church. Well, you do have to say the sinner's prayer, repeat after me. We do have to make sure before I leave you speak in tongues. I have to make sure you're sincere. So please explain, tell me that you understand this. And we do expect you to take some kind of responsibility at the church, either be a worship leader or a man, the crying room, or every room should be a crying room in the Christian church. I'd be crying every day to be faced with this horrible message that my transient decisions based on my weakness or my needs today that I don't have tomorrow, that eternal life rides on my decision. That's apparently has to be uninfluenced by God, or it doesn't count. It has to be sincere, or it doesn't count. It has to be accompanied by the sinner's prayer, or it doesn't count. Oh, those poor people. Poor people that preach it, poor people that sit under it. But when you tell people the truth, they want to believe it. Why wouldn't they believe something that's already true? You see, you're not challenging them to believe it in order for it to be true. That's the Christian message. And we're not talking about eternal life either. That's done deal. That's signed, sealed, and delivered. That's already in the bank. Forget about it. I mean, you're going to live forever with God. And you're going to live forever with God. You're going to live forever with God. We're talking about life for the eons. We're talking about having breakfast with Oprah. We're talking about getting in to the Inside Club to help make these things happen for other people, to be a part of the work of God in reconciling the universe to himself throughout the aeonian times. Yes, we're talking about an appreciation of these things, because until today, I would tell the person, until today, you had no knowledge that you had all these benefits in your account. You had no knowledge of. Nobody ever told you. I'm telling you, you have all these things in your account, and now you know it. And so that person has changed already. I mean, just go back to the insurance example. Think of how you're going to walk around knowing that you have this amazing insurance. Like, you feel so protected. It's like, if something happens to me, I'm covered every possible way, and it doesn't even cost me anything. Think about how great you're going to feel about that. It's going to change your life, change the way you think, change the way you sleep at night. That's what a true message of grace does. That's why it helps to believe it. But if the insurance salesman tells this to a potential customer, if you want to call him that, and the guy says, I don't even believe this. This is insane. Nobody does it. This can't be real. This has to be a trick. I know what this is. This is my friend Joe pulling a trick on me. Get the hell out of here. Sends the insurance salesman. Get the hell out of here. Even though it's true. It's absolutely true. Get the hell out of here. Well, wait till I get back at Joe on this one. So the guy leaves, and you still have the insurance, but you go the rest of your life not knowing it because you don't believe it. What kind of an idiot wouldn't believe it? The idiot I just described. But I've described these things to people, and they don't believe it because they're so screwed up in their heads by the Christian religion and the way they were taught. They can't break out of that to see that these things are theirs whether they believe it or not, and so they just don't. Oh, the joy, the peace they could have by believing it, but they don't because they've been ruined. They've been ruined. They've heard 20 other salesmen before you walked in, and you're not even a salesman. You're a presenter. You're an announcer. You're not a challenger. Christians are challenging you. Challenge. This is an announcement. The briefcase never even opens up. The papers never come out. There are no papers. You're covered. Now, I'm going to leave. I got other people to tell this to. Okay, I don't even believe it. So they go the rest of their lives miserable. Or they believe it. And then they have aeonian life. See, the belief doesn't get you these things. The belief makes you aware of these things. And not only that, but it's the catalyst that makes you a member of the body of Christ. It is evidence that God has chosen you beforehand, that God has designated you beforehand for the place of a son or a daughter in Him. What an amazing joy it is. I can imagine how fun it was for Oprah to say, you get a car, you get a car. Imagine how much fun it is for God to say, you have immortality with me, and you have immortality with me. What? Me? What? Me? We have the same pleasure. If we can break through the ice wall of incredulity, if we can break through the history of Christian challenge that these poor people have been just hammered with over the years, disappointed over the years. Free grace, come on in. Then they tell you, you can't sin. You have to obey the Ten Commandments. I mean, you can't covet your neighbor's wife. I mean, they bring all the Ten Commandments. You have to keep the Sabbath day holy, of course. I mean, and don't take the Lord's name in vain. Other than that, yes, it's completely free. And these people have been hammered for so long that when you finally do come with a free message, they don't believe it. I don't know what to do about that. I don't know what to do about the predisposition to not believe the good news is because the false good news that has been presented by good news has just faked them out so many times by false teachers with false messages freighted with this strange eternity thing that shouldn't even be anywhere near it. Eternity shouldn't be anywhere near a presentation of the evangel. The eons belong here. The eons. Eon 4, Eon 5. Eternity should be nowhere near it. Have I said that yet? Eternity should be nowhere near a presentation of the evangel where you're talking about faith. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what a great gift God has given us. And only He can prepare hearts to hear it. And He's already prepared ours. We have heard it. We rejoice in it. And we try to tell it to other people. Many times we get stonewalled because they're just so jaded. They can't hear it. But may God open up hearts for us. May He open up hearts to hear this message so that He can bring in the last member of the body of Christ and we can be snatched away, which is better than having breakfast with Oprah. Snatched away to meet our Lord in the clouds.